Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. Well, if you know anything about me or about this program, you know that one of the things I love more than anything else, besides the theater, I guess that will always be number one, but a close second and gaining ground over the past few years has been radio. And even though so much of radio sucks and has sucked for decades and decades, let's face it, it sucked when I was growing up and a teenager and still listening to it. I still listen to it, but now we can pick and choose. Now you've got the internet, now you can hear stations from all over the country, all over the world. Well, what stations should you be listening to? Well, for one thing, I listen to WFMU out in New Jersey because they're an independent station and they have wild stuff, and I listen to Glenn Jones and X-Ray Burns and the old-time Phonograph album. I mean, it's all unique and all different and not what you're going to hear on cookie-cutter New York radio or Colorado radio or anything like that. And there are a few stations along the way, mostly allied with colleges or in colleges, that give you that kind of programming. WFUV. I used to be their theater critic, in fact. And they play a very certain type of music, and it's essentially a professionally run Americana station where you can predict the kind of stuff they're playing, except since I like most of what they're playing, I listen to it when I get a chance. But I'm talking some of the weirder, more out there stations, where at noon you can tune into an opera show, at 3 o'clock they suddenly switch to jazz, and then 5 o'clock there's some lunatic screaming about Martians, and then at 6 o'clock a folk show, and it just goes on and on like that. Mix of students, mix of grown-ups. That's interesting to me. And so I'm very happy to have, as a guest on this episode of Dave's Gone By, someone who has toiled in the strange radio mines for more than 16 years now. She started, amazingly enough, as a corporate executive in Silicon Valley. And then, I don't know if she still does that, but at least she gave up part of it in order to do radio, and to do the kind of radio that they do on a station KFJC, 89.7 FM, in the Bay Area, San Francisco. Now, don't get confused. This is a San Francisco station. But the person that I'm talking to is, at least in her radio alter ego, called Ann Arbor. But we're not going to call her Ann Arbor. We're going to call her by her real name, and that is Nina Price. Nina, hello?
Hi, Dave.
Hi, how are you?
It's a treat to be here, and you did such a great job of explaining who KFJC is and why people all over the world love to listen to KFJC.
Well, they can listen, first of all, you guys are online 24/7 streaming.
We are.
And you also have some archives listenable?
We do. We have 2 weeks' worth, and that's new for us. We've had archives for many years, and we've been very careful about sharing them, but we are now making them available to anyone who wants to listen to them and download them.
I think it's great that you guys, who are allied with a small college, what is the college?
Our college is Foothill College.
Foothill.
Which is in Los Altos Hill, California. And I need to mention that the folks at FMU, WFMU, are our good friends. We talk to them all the time. We listen to their programs. There's a lot of interchange between the two stations. And that's been very deliberate because in many ways we're really kindred spirits, even though we're on opposite coasts.
Well, what are some of the kinds of programs that you do, of course, across the course of a week on KFJC?
So KFJC, as you mentioned, broadcasts 24 hours a day. And at any time of day, you can hear a pretty broad range of music. Philosophically, we're all about new music, music you really won't hear many other places. But that doesn't mean we don't play old music. We get our music from record labels and local bands and up-and-coming musicians whom we've met in our travels. We have some specialty shows, but not many. We have a jazz show, as you would expect. We have a reggae show.
Mm-hmm.
We have an alternative country show, which is not like any other country show you've ever heard.
How is it alternative?
Well, because the guy is just a really interesting character. His air name is Joe Ed Dick.
Joe Ed Dick. Okay.
And he just has a really good sense of what's going on and plays what he plays. But he also has an old-time radio segment on his show for about half an hour where he plays has gone by, you know, whether it's a Dragnet or you know, Jack Benny or any
Fibber McGee and Molly
old radio shows. He plays those for half an hour during the show. He also is interested in the movies and film, and he has a segment of his show called Dick on Screen, where he sometimes interviews people or comments on what's going on in up-and-coming new films. So many of us have many segments to our shows. We have a soundtrack show called the Norman Bates Memorial Soundtrack Show, which is a very beloved show in the Bay Area.
What is it? It's just Bernard Herrmann music, or what is it?
Oh, no, it's way beyond Bernard Herrmann. Of course, you would hear Bernard Herrmann. He even plays Bollywood. He also would play Italian spaghetti western kinds of music. He plays stuff from TV shows and from things going on in local underground film and so on. And he's very, Robert Emmett is the host of that show, and he is very involved in the local film scene in the Bay Area and elsewhere. And so he brings in people from many different places to talk about what they're up to. He's interviewed all kinds of interesting folks.
So it's a soundtrack show, but a little beyond what you would expect if they're playing just, you know, the soundtrack to The Sound of Music. Or,
oh, yes. It's definitely much more up-to-date and much more out there. In fact, everything we do is up-to-date and kind of out there.
You host a show under your nom de plume, or in radio terms, nom de guerre, which would be...
nom de guerre. Somebody called it my nom d'FM. My FM name, which I kind of liked.
You're nom de 89.7 FM.
I'm nom de 89.7, which is Ann Arbor.
But why don't you go on? Because apparently your character, so to speak, isn't that different from you. So why do a character? Or is there something that gives you more freedom there?
I think it does. Why not do a character? Why not have an alter ego? I think everybody really does want to have an alter ego, even if she isn't radically different. I mean, we have pirates on our station. and no, we don't do pirate radio, but we have pirates on the radio. And they are very much in character. Captain Jack and Scully are on every Wednesday these days. And they are, actually, Captain Jack is usually only on for about an hour. But right now we're in the middle of our fundraiser. And Captain Jack and Scully have been making more and more frequent appearances because they have really been raising a lot of funds for the station. Everybody loves them. They're very lovable, but they're very mischievous pirates.
So they play pirates, and again, they're not pirate radio people like in that movie coming up, but they're characters.
I want to talk about that movie coming up too, but they are actual pirates, Captain Jack and Scully, and their, you know, their theme song is the, you know, the thing from Disneyland, Yo Ho Yo Ho, Pirate's Life for Me, and they play children's stories, and they, it's just.
It's like Captain Feathersword from The Wiggles.
Actually, they've been written up all over the place, so people tune in from all over the world to listen to Captain Jack and Scully.
Whoa, okay. Sounds cool. But you didn't really mention or get to mention that much of what kinds of music you play in your... What is your program called, by the way?
Well, my show is called Dancing in the Fast Lane with Ann Arbor. It's a morning show. I'm on at 6 o'clock in the morning from 6 until the Big Ten, as they say.
Oh, four-hour block. Nice.
It's very nice. And, you know, of course, Ann Arbor is part of the Big Ten, so that makes sense. At least U of Michigan is, and I did go to school there.
Okay.
That's why I'm Ann Arbor, because I have a fondness for that town, and I've always thought that Ann Arbor should be a person, so I decided to be that person, and I've met a lot of former Michiganders in the Bay Area by being Ann Arbor, so that's been kind of fun. Ann Arbor starts her show each week with belly dance music, 20 minutes of belly dance music.
20 minutes? Well, I guess you got to warm up, and then you got to do the dance, and then cool down.
Exactly.
So yeah.
You
okay.
Can belly dance out of bed.
I'd rather belly dance in it, but that's another story completely.
Well, exactly. But you know, no one is watching, so you can dance like there's no one watching because no one is.
Okay.
So we start with belly dance music, and I've thought about losing that part of the show, and people keep saying, "No, I really like that part."
Okay.
And then I kind of circumnavigate the globe musically for the rest of that 6 o'clock hour. And actually, I have a lot of listeners during my 6 o'clock hour. Many, and I know this because over the years I've gotten donations between 6 and 7 in the morning, and many people on our station do not get, in fact, nobody else on our station gets donations at 6 o'clock in the morning but me.
Well, congratulations. Although 6 to 7, that is morning drive. I mean, that counts. That's a major time.
It is morning drive, and the thing is, I have a very loyal crew of listeners from 6 to 7, and I know that because I started doing ticket giveaways from 6 to 7, and I call it the early bird gets the tickets.
Cool.
So ordinarily, I give away tickets to local shows in the Bay Area a bit later when there are more people listening. I think statistics always show that people are listening very heavily during the 8 o'clock hour because they're commuting.
Right.
And so the 8 o'clock hour tends to be when I usually give away tickets, and I give away all kinds of tickets for all kinds of shows. But I've noticed that doing this early bird gets the tickets things, I have been giving away tickets at 6:30 in the morning.
Well, good. Oh, I remember.
Pretty amazing.
A friend of mine, Jeff Goodman, who's been on this program a bunch of times and has co-hosted this show, we were doing a show in a college station out on Long Island and trying to give away tickets from 3 in the morning until 6 a.m. And we would get a call from someone who could just pull his lips away from a bong long enough to dial. And we end up having to give the tickets or like the free CD to him just because, you know, trying to give a ticket away at 4:30 in the morning, that's brutal.
It is brutal. I've done it myself. I mean, one of the things that we have to do as part of our training at KFJC is you do have to do grave shifts for quite a few weeks before they will let you on during the day.
Sure.
And so back in the day, and I'll tell this story because it's kind of an interesting thing I learned. I did work in the computer industry for 20 years, and at one point in my life, I was working so hard that I just needed to do something for myself, so I took a radio class at Foothill College.
Uh-huh.
And what I didn't realize is that that class probably changed my life more than any other class I've ever taken in my whole life. I just thought I was taking a radio class, but what I realized afterwards was that I totally got hooked. I've always been a radio listener. I grew up in New York like you did.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I listened to the radio and grew up with all the famous New York radio stations like everybody who grew up in New York did. And it's really interesting because as a kid, I always say that I spent a lot of my childhood playing records. When I graduated from high school, you know, most people in those days, their parents gave them a typewriter because there weren't PCs yet.
Right.
I'm hitting myself here, but people got a typewriter when they graduated from high school and went to college. Well, my dad gave me a radio when I graduated from high school. Now, how many people's dads gave them a radio,
when
they graduated from high school?
Quite honestly, actually, most kids have a radio long before they graduate. I mean, I hope it was a nice radio.
Oh, was it?
I mean, some kids get a car, you know.
I don't know why I didn't ask for a radio, but for some reason that's what he thought I needed.
I mean, back where I was growing up, I mean, kids were getting, like, Mercedes from their parents, and it's like...
Oh,
no, I'm not going to give you a Mercedes. I'll give you a radio, though. It's like, thanks, Dad. Sorry.
Exactly. But kids I went to high school with are not getting Mercedes.
Right, of course. No. But no, but they might get a typewriter, or something of that nature. But I assume you also got a radio, like, stereo. Like, it sounded good.
It was a nice little radio. It wasn't a big deal. But I did listen to the radio when I was in college.
Sure.
I have always been a person that listened to the radio, is the point.
Did you listen to college radio when you were in college? Your state, what, did they have a station where you were going?
Oh, in Ann Arbor, of course they did.
WCBN, okay.
And I wasn't that into college radio so much. I was into music and I was into listening. And I'm a very auditory learner, so for me, you know, listening to the radio was a good way. And I liked it when people read books on the radio. I used to listen to various programs where people read books. I don't know why, but I did. So when I started my show, I decided I was going to have a segment where I read books on the radio. So I have a segment called Unbedtime Stories, which airs at 7:20 in the morning. It's a 20-minute segment where I read fiction by up-and-coming authors. And I've read some pretty well-known authors and even interviewed some pretty well-known authors. And I've read unknowns. In fact, you've probably heard of National Novel Writing Month, NaNoWriMo. Have you heard of that?
No, I have not.
November is National Novel Writing Month.
Oh, cool.
That's something that actually started in the San Francisco Bay Area. And I have interviewed the guy who started it, and I have been supporting National Novel Writing Month for years now. I think this is going to be my fifth or sixth year supporting it. What I do is the goal is you write 50,000 words of a novel during the month of November.
Yeah.
And if you complete it, you can read from your novel on my show in the Unbedtime Stories segment. And so I have people coming in every week for months after November reading their novels for Unbedtime Stories.
That's a lot of 50,000 words in a month is a lot. That's more than 1,000 words a day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you know what? I really am a big supporter of people who have big ideas and who make them real. And I'll tell a story about an older lady who was on my show last year. And she wrote a novel during November. And she'd always wanted to do it. She'd had this idea for many years, and so she just decided this was the year she was going to write her novel. And so she wrote more than 50,000 words of her novel, and she came on my show and read from her novel. Now, I didn't think her novel was particularly brilliant, but it was very important to her, and she was obviously very nervous about the idea of reading on the radio and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to give this woman credit, because she, to me, personifies what it's all about. Having the guts and the courage of your convictions to actually write your novel in a month and then read it on the radio. I mean, I thought that was wonderful, and I was really proud of her for just having the sheer guts to do it and actually doing it. A lot of people think about it, but they don't do it.
Not only dream the impossible dream, but go out and try to actually do the impossible dream.
Absolutely, and I'm all about that. That's so who I am.
I am a little curious just about nuts and bolts on this. Since you're the treasurer for KFJC Radio in the Bay Area, I would love to know, because I never really got the backstory on this kind of stuff. How much does it cost to run a college radio station? 24/7 with streaming audio, you know.
So we have a very modest budget, and we really get the lion's share of our operating budget from our listeners. The college doesn't really give us much money at all.
How much? Well, first, what is your capital? How much does it take to run the station for a year?
Well, that varies, and I probably won't give you specific numbers because I'm not sure that our management would be too happy about that. But let's say under $100,000.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
For the full year?
We have volunteer labor. There are probably about 50 to 70 people on our staff at any point in time. And in order to be on the staff, you have to do work for the station. So you can't just register for a class at Foothill College and get a show. You have to work for it. You have to participate, whether it's reviewing music that we're putting into our library or filling in on shifts that are empty,
mm-hmm.
or occasionally doing a grave shift when nobody's there to keep the station running 24 hours a day, or doing promotions work, working with the local clubs to get tickets to give away or to do co-presents.
I assumed just to keep the station running and dealing with fixing a transmitter, you've got to pay a guy like $90,000 because he's an engineer.
So we do have a chief engineer who's paid, and we do have a general manager who's paid. Those are the only two paid positions, but they're not paid piles of money.
Wow,
you know,
okay.
They're paid modest stipends, but they're available 24/7 or have to be if there's an emergency. So if we lose power, and we from time to time lose power, less now than we used to, there's got to be somebody to call. Or if and some of the equipment malfunctions.
Of course, yeah.
Seriously. Somebody's got to be on call. Our general manager, you know, certainly we're in the middle of a big fundraiser right now, and he's at the station probably more than not at this time of
sure.
year, and he's on call as well.
Now, you don't have rent, I guess, because the college deals with rent and utilities.
The college gives us our facilities.
So that's how you, at least I assume that helps keep the budget under $100,000. I'm very happy that it can be done.
Well, we buy all our own equipment, and we've remodeled our studios significantly in the last decade or so, which have been very, very expensive propositions. We have very good equipment. It's interesting. I've visited other stations in our area, and by comparison, we have really great equipment because, you know, we're in the Silicon Valley, and most of us are geeks and value having the latest and greatest.
Well, let me guess. Is the furniture terrible? Are the chairs really, like, broken almost and no backs and stuff like that?
Ratty and awful.
Yep. That's so typical. I don't know why. I don't know what it is to spend $35 on an office chair, but they don't do it. I don't get it. You know.
It's okay. You know, most of us donate our old furniture to the station. We've had various people's couches, and we've had various people's office chairs, and we've had various... You know, some of our listeners donate stuff, whether it's furniture or old computers or pieces of electronic gear or... Sometimes they donate their car to the college so that the money from the sale of the car goes to the station. So we get all kinds of donations. Our listeners are very good to us.
And music, too. They'll donate their CD collections and their... you'll take vinyl?
Yes, absolutely. We have a huge... Well, we have a 50-year collection of music.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because that's right. The station is at its 50th... anniversary, right?
We just had our 50th birthday on October 20th, 2009. And the guy who started the station, a man named Bob Ballou, who started the station in a broom closet.
Now, speaking of radio people, the last thing I want to talk about with Nina Price of KFJC-FM, which, granted, if you're listening to my show in New York or Colorado, you won't get that on your radio there. What's the URL? Where can people listen on the web?
So, of course, it's www.kfjc.org.
KFJC.org. And when does your show air? What morning?
Wednesday, 6 a.m. to 10.
6 to 10 for Nina Price playing Ann Arbor on the radio. But one thing that did intrigue me, especially since that movie with Philip Seymour Hoffman is coming out about pirate radio, you mentioned... that, yes, there's a show on your station where you've got people making believe they're pirates and having a lot of fun, but on your program you interviewed the real pirate radio people, you know, like from the ocean kind of pirate radio.
Exactly. So one of the things we do that's very fun at KFJC is what we call the Month of Mayhem. So the Month of May is the Month of Mayhem at KFJC, and we all do specials. Well, anybody who wants to can do a special. You can pick a particular artist or a scene or a type of music or an instrument or anything, really. And I've done stuff on belly dancing. I've done stuff on the Asian Underground. And I didn't mention that I have a segment on my show, which is all about the Asian Underground and the music of the Indian subcontinent.
Hmm.
I've done stuff on various European music scenes. I've looked at different bands and different record labels and all kinds of stuff, and it's been really fun. But one of the funnest shows I've done during Mayhem was about Radio Caroline in the UK. One of my listeners met a man, Tom Lodge, who was one of the original DJs on Radio Caroline in the UK back in the 60s.
Now, when you say... Specifically explain, please, for people who don't know what that means. He was in a boat.
Radio Caroline was a radio station based on a boat cruising the coast of the United Kingdom in the 60s. And there's a new film that Dave will tell you about that's going to showcase them. But this guy, Tom Lodge, was one of the original DJs on this pirate station, which was called Radio Caroline. And Tom Lodge and I put on a four-hour show where we talked all about Radio Caroline, told all the stories, played all the music, and had just a blast of a time. And Tom Lodge is a wonderful, wonderful storyteller. And he told all about his experiences on the boat, on shore, how the radio station evolved, what the British authorities did about it, because you can imagine they're very mad. And that's all depicted in this movie coming up called Pirate Radio.
Well, the movie seems a little jokey to me. It seems like they're going to, you know, turn it into more of a silly comedy rather than really tell the story. I hope they do, though, because I'm fascinated by that kind of thing. And I'm still wondering how they did it. They just kind of go into the ocean, and they're able to hijack a signal somewhere on the dial?
Their boat was registered in another country, and they actually had their transmitter on board, I guess, and all their equipment. And they were able, as pirate radio stations do, to broadcast all over the UK. And, of course, they were always moving. So they'd go up one coast and down another. And they actually would sometimes come ashore and meet their listeners, or sometimes they had to stay offshore because the authorities made it difficult. And he talks about times where the authorities actually chased them, threatened them, did all kinds of stuff to get rid of them. But the people who listened to the radio, the young people, loved Radio Caroline. It was so popular that in the end, even though the authorities kind of made life difficult for them, the love of what they were doing was so pervasive that they were able to make radio change in the UK. Because back in the day, in the 60s, individuals could not own a radio station, could not have a license or a radio frequency in the UK. It was all government.
Well, it's BBC One, BBC Two, yeah, of course.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I guess I hadn't understood that, but telling the story, and that's why they had to do pirate radio, because even though they wanted to buy a license, they couldn't.
One of the nice things about being able to do the kinds of radio that you do through a college is that you have obviously so much more freedom than you would get even at satellite radio, which isn't nearly as free as everybody thought it would be. I think that's the coolest thing about the kind of radio that's done on FMU and on your station, KFJC. Now, the very last question for Nina Price, who's really been fun to talk to because I love talking about radio. I'm curious about the weirdest, craziest, nuttiest DJ that you have come across in your 16 years of being at that Bay Area station.
There's so many.
Really? Okay.
I haven't mentioned Dave Emery, who's on our station. And Dave Emery, you probably know from WFMU because his show is broadcast all over the place. But his shows originate at KFJC. He does his production in our studios, and he's been on our staff forever.
Oh, wow, okay.
Dave Emery is a political commentator. Some people would say he's a conspiracy theorist, and he does two shows on our station on Thursday and on Friday from 6 to 7. He is a very interesting human being and a great character and a dear friend.
Oh, okay.
And he can be heard all over the place because he's about as close to a syndicated person we have on our station. And that's just because he's gone out and got the distribution for his show. So, Dave Emery, we mentioned Captain Jack and Scully.
Right.
We have some other people who are interesting. There's some newer staff members. There's a guy called Cy Foss who's on Thursday afternoons, and his show is The Fire Bunker. And Cy Foss has he writes and he does some very dramatic readings, and he plays very black metal and very out there music. He's just a wonderful character, and he has a very interesting way of talking. One of my listeners met him because he sometimes answers phones for me when it's fundraiser time, and she said, "Oh, I thought you were like 9 foot tall. You sound like you're 9 foot tall."
And the voice he uses on the air, which is, you said, sounds almost like he's had a stroke. is his real...
A little bit. Yeah, we jokingly said we should all imitate Sifoth for a day, just for fun. And he's just a very lovable character. But he was a spirit nice, and he talks. Anyway, I'm not doing a good imitation.
That's my kind of radio right there, let me tell you.
It's wonderful.
Now, over the year, again, over... I'm not just talking about currently on the air, but over the years... Anybody really completely mad, or also anybody who became famous?
Oh, I don't know. Well, Phil Dirt was on our station for many years, and he had a very well-loved surf show. And Phil Dirt's surf website is still very, very popular all over the world. And people listened literally on every continent, including Antarctica, to Phil Dirt's surf show on Saturday nights.
Well, what the hell else are you going to do in Antarctica on a November day? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, there you go. Ophelia Necro does the Suicide Watch from 10 p.m. on Sunday night to 2 a.m., and that's also a show that many people love. And
Ophelia Necro.
Ophelia Necro.
Was it death metal kind of...
Yeah, and she does a lot of creepy, spooky stuff all year long. In fact, she was on the grave shift ahead of me yesterday, and it was still Halloween, and she was talking about crawling into her coffin at 6 o'clock. In fact, when I got there, she wasn't there. I guess she had crawled into her coffin.
Well, I guess it's appropriate that she has the graveyard shift. I mean,
Well, sometimes, and she also has wonderful costumes. We have her staff meeting Thursday night, and she had this wonderful hat that had like bat wings coming out of it. It was darling. So, we're all characters.
You must be so glad.
About being radio people is that you can be your fully expressed self. And as I said, many of us need to have an alter ego, and radio gives us such a wonderful opportunity to be that other person.
I can totally see why you dropped corporate America to do what you're doing, and I want to thank you for taking the time with us, Nina Price, a.k.a. Ann Arbor. Everybody, listen, please, to her show and to bunches of other programs on KFJC. And was that KFJC.org or com?
.org. And please do check out our website. There's all kinds of information, music reviews, information about activities we're involved with. We just tend to think a little bit bigger than most college stations. Our staff ranges in age from about 18 to about 60-something, and so we have just an amazing crew of talented, bright, creative folks who just get together and do real magic, and it's fun.
That's what radio is all about. Nina Price, thank you so much for bringing that magic and fun into the neighborhood.
My pleasure, Dave. Thank you so much for inviting me.